You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Belinda Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
So Jesus was the ultimate game changer. Hallelujah. He was the ultimate game changer. He was a groundbreaker and he was a trailblazer. This is the God we serve, amen. He brought new ideas, inspired change, and did things differently. But what is the definition of a game changer? When we say we become a game changer, what am I actually saying to you this morning? Who is a game changer? Can you tell me this morning, if I had to say, what is a game changer, who is a game changer, and what must you do to become a game changer, can you answer me this morning? And by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you one thing to do to be an incredible game changer in this world today. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So according to the dictionary, a game changer is a person or a thing that significantly affects the outcome of something. It's a person that affects the outcome of something significantly. I think Jesus is the ultimate game changer. Amen. How significant was his life in affecting so many things? So generally, game changers make things happen. Are you a game changer this morning? You see, we don't have the confidence in that because you think that to be a game changer, you have to have everything in place and everything has to be perfect and you have to have no flaws. But in the life of Jesus and in the ways of Jesus, we learn that game changers have a very different approach to life. So generally, game changers have a different approach to life. So Peter the Rock, he was a game changer if I had to think of one immediately. Paul the Apostle, he was a game changer. Immediately, if I think of somebody, on the girl's side, Deborah, who went to war, she was a game changer. Esther, a game changer. Amen? Can you agree with me? These all have very loud, bold stories. But often we forget that the tenacity and courage of somebody like a Hannah that goes before Jesus into the temple and prays is also a game changer. Amen? By her prayers, she went before God and she was prophetic and she was wise. She petitioned the nation of Israel and petitioned for a child. So after the birth of Samuel, eventually Jesus gives her a son, Samuel. She has Samuel and then after that she has five other children. But Samuel belonged to God. Very much like the sermon that my husband gave this morning, your first belongs to Jesus. Amen? And when you love Jesus, your first belonging to Jesus is not a moment. It's not a moment. It's a moment of thank you, Jesus, that my first can belong to you. So Samuel became God's great prophet. And he became a name in Israel. He anointed the most kings in Israel. And God elevated Hannah from being somebody looked down upon, somebody being despised, somebody being looked at as weak. Because in society in those days, if you never had a child, you were weak. And she was barren. She was barren. So she wasn't considered strong. She wasn't considered a game changer. Somebody praying a game changer? I want to tell you, somebody praying is more of a game changer than what you can believe. Because prayer is powerful, amen? And when we pray, when we get on our knees, God starts hearing our heart. And he starts sending angels out and changing things, amen? So Samuel's calling didn't start with him. Can I say that? It started with a parent praying. Samuel's calling didn't start with him. It started with a parent praying. But not just praying, a parent keeping her promise to God. Would Samuel be Samuel if Hannah didn't keep her promise to God? Paul said to Timothy, the faith that is in you didn't originate in you. In fact, it didn't even originate in your mother. It originated in your grandmother. So I want to tell you that the reason your children are who they are today is because of the foundation that you lay as a parent. Are you ready to lay good foundations? Amen? Your children will carry your spiritual passion. If you love this church, your children will love this church. If you love to pray, your children will pray. Come to a prayer meeting on a Sunday morning and see how children are praying. I'm telling you, they're setting this world on fire because they are praying and God hears their prayers. Amen? Your faithfulness and commitment to God as a parent is going to create the platform for them to be used by God. You need to keep your children in the presence of Jesus. You need to teach them Sundays, it's Jesus time. Sundays, it's church time. We're going to honor God with the first of our week. Sunday belongs to Jesus. Monday to Saturday, you can do what you want to. Sunday, you come and honor God because you want God to honor you. If you love to worship, you will see your children will worship. Often you see parents, the parents' hands are in the air, the children's hands are in the air. Another parent, the children standing like this, the child is standing like this. Because children are going to see and then they are going to imitate what you are. You see, if you're a giver, your children will be givers. If you love, your children will love. But if you gossip and slander or have racism in your heart, your children will have the same. We birth a slate, a clean slate. Children aren't born to be anything. They are born to become what you've taught them to become. Can I speak to parents this morning? Amen? Amen? Our children will become who we teach them. If we teach them that they have to honor God, they will honor God. If we teach them to honor a Sunday, they will honor a Sunday. If we teach them to love, they will love. But in the same sentence, if we teach them to hate, they will hate. If we teach them to look down on people, they will look down on people. Do you understand the authority you carry in the Spirit for your children? And I really want to challenge parents today. Teach your children to love the church. Teach the children to love coming to God. What does church do? Church is a place where we get to meet with Jesus once a week and just say, regardless of what's happening, this is my time with you. Worship is a time where we can go before Jesus and he can wash our hearts and maybe show us things in our hearts that need to change. You know, I'm a worship leader in this church. Sometimes when I start worship, it's a much harder set because of the people's hearts that come in the building. They may be facing challenges. They're facing depression. They're facing anxiety. They maybe have many challenges to face in the week. So it takes a while, and we keep singing, and we keep singing, and we keep singing. And later on, it gets easier and easier and easier. Why? Because as we worship, the heart's DNA gets changed, and you start being reminded of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. You start being reminded of who God is. Amen? And then the things you face and the things you came in from the door doesn't become so important anymore. And you sit here and you get reminded of who God is. And you get reminded what the Word says. And you get reminded of what the Word tells you to do. And all your failures, all your miscomings, all your problems disappear in the light of who Jesus is. But the greatest game changer I want to focus on this morning is maybe somebody you would never have thought of. And while I was studying this, I said, God, and the Lord kept putting in my heart this person's name. And I was like, but God, how is this person a game changer? A game changer is someone that changes things significantly. And the Lord said, come, let's walk on this journey together. And today I'm going to focus on a game changer by the name of Mary Magdalene. And immediately you think, how is Mary a game changer? What did she do that was so significant? You see, Mary was mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. Mary of Magdalene. She's called Magdalene because she came from Magdala, and that was a fishing town on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. Amen. And she actually came from a city that was plagued by pagan worship. Pagan worship, sacrificing of children, drinking poison to appease the gods. Can you imagine? God looks at a little fishing town on the banks of a river, of a sea, and he sees a game changer. Not just he sees a game changer, he has Mary and she's possessed by multiple demons. Can you imagine the life Mary lived, being possessed by so many evil spirits? The shame she had to carry, the emotional torment she had to go through. She was battered, she was bruised, she was injured from the life that she lived. Mary must have lost all her friends. Who would want to be a friend with someone who has demons? Amen? Have you ever thought of this? Have you ever thought of who came to Jesus in that moment? Can you imagine the suffering she endured? Can you imagine the isolation and the rejection she endured? Mary had begged for mercy, and nobody had given her mercy. Mary had longed for kindness from anybody. But what she was given was isolation. This is Mary. And she comes to Jesus and she looks at Jesus in her state of desperation. And instead of seeing an outcast, listen to me, church. Instead of seeing an outcast, our God sees a game changer. Our God sees a game changer. He was not afraid or repulsed by her. That she was dirty and that she needed light didn't put Jesus off. And in that moment, she feels this great light coming into her darkness. A great light advancing towards her and changing who she is, repelling all shades of darkness and saying, you know what, I have a plan for your life. This is the game-changing God we serve. Amen? Mary Magdalene, a woman possessed by demons, suddenly was restored to the right mind and her bondage became a thing of the past. Amen? Can we give the Lord a hand? Eyes that had once been holes swelling up light suddenly became pools that reflect light. Are your eyes maybe dark this morning, absorbing light? One touch from Jesus and your eyes can reflect light. Amen? One touch from Jesus. One moment from Jesus. One look from the eyes of Jesus. One touch from his hands. How could Mary not love such a man? And you know what she does? Mary loves him so much. And she's so grateful for what he did to her. She becomes a follower of Jesus. She becomes part of the group that moves around with Jesus. So I'm actually quoting a lot of scripture today. I'm just putting it in a little bit of context just to save a bit of time. But Luke 8 verse 1 to 3 says, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. These women were helping and supporting them out of their own means. Have you ever seen that? Mary supported Jesus out of her own means. Jesus had set her free, and now she'd become a disciple of Jesus, and she was supporting him out of her own means. Do you know what that means? She was supporting his ministry. Amen? She hung on to every word he said. Can you imagine? And in that time, in the Jewish society, women were actually not typically very essential. Their word was not even enough to stand up in a court. And yet Jesus says, I'm changing the protocol. Women can come with me, can walk with me, can learn from me, can become game changers as well. Amen? We so quickly read through things in the Bible, read past things in the Bible, and we don't realize what they're saying. You see, as Jesus walked with Mary and Mary walked with Jesus as a disciple, she started to see Jesus take dirt and make eyes. She started to witness Jesus taking a few loaves and fish and feeding a multitude. She even witnessed other demon-possessed people being set free. She loved deeply. She heard Jesus speak about the kingdom. You know what she heard him say? She heard him say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As a disciple, she heard these teachings about loving your enemies. Can you imagine? She learned that she had to bless those that persecute her. And she had to pray for those that despitefully use her. How do you bless your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you if you don't have a game changer on your side? It's not possible. Amen? You see, in Luke 6 verse 27 to 28, Mary learned how to live a life as a citizen of heaven. She learned the importance of prayer through watching the life of Jesus. Are you still with me this morning? She watched him at daybreak go and pray in Mark 1 verse 35. She watched him retreat to a hill in Matthew 14, verse 23. Mary was watching and learning from the ultimate game changer. She saw him pray when he called his disciples. She saw him pray when they were together and he was choosing the 12. She saw him pray for Peter's faith when he denied Jesus. She saw him pray for all present and future believers that would be kept from evil. She saw him pray for himself the night before he was killed. And she saw him pray for the murderers on the cross. I can just imagine Mary standing there saying, Jesus, how's this possible? How is it possible to live this life as a game changer with everything I've been through, with everything I've gone through? But when I look at you, I see it is possible because of you. Amen? The most beautiful part about Mary was that Mary was one of the group of women that remained with Jesus at his death on the cross. Everybody left. Mary remained. Mary knew the value of Jesus. Do you know the value of Jesus? I can imagine Mary standing there and just looking at the cross and saying, Jesus, how can this happen? How can these agonizing hours happen in front of my eyes? How can you go through this physical and mental pain? But she remained. Her love kept her at the cross. Amen? Will your love keep you at the cross? When you go through agonizing times, when you go through pain, and when you go through mental torment, do you run to the cross? I could just imagine Mary standing there and saying, hold on to me, sweet Jesus. Never let me go. Never let me go. What's happening? You see, as she stood there, she saw Jesus being beaten, being nailed to the cross. She saw his hands being nailed to the cross, his feet being nailed. Her precious Savior was dying on a cross. And when many ran away, Mary decided to stay. Many couldn't face that agony. She decided, even in your agony, Jesus, I'm with you. Even in your hard time, Jesus, I'm with you. I can't do much. I am nothing without you, but I will remain with you. She watched as they stuck the spear in his side. She watched him speak to the thieves on the cross. She watched him pray for the thieves on the cross. Mary Magdalene, a woman possessed by several demons, set free by the power of God, decides, I'm not leaving this person because my heart carries a thankfulness and I can never repay him in a 7,000 lifetimes. Amen? She remains at the cross. She remains as the sky turns black. She remains as she hears his dying cry out to the Father, 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 why have you forsaken me? Mary's right there. The disciples, who knows where they went? I mean, they took the road. They were gone. I don't know where they were. Bible doesn't tell us. I mean, but Mary stays there at the feet of Jesus. And she says, what has happened? What has happened? How can I go on? Another thing Mary does is she remains there after one of Jesus' disciples gets permission from Pilate to take him off the cross. This person, this disciple, brings clean white cloth, and Mary stands there as they take this clean white cloth and wrap it around the body of her Savior that has just died. She watches as his blood stains this white cloth, and she's reminded of how the blood of Jesus came and stained her life in a different way. Her life was stained with darkness, with black, with brown, with death. And the sweet blood of Jesus came and changed her story and started staining her with his blood and writing over her heart, you are mine. You are mine. She watches as they gently wrap Jesus in myrrh. And they put aloe on his body and they take him to his new tomb. Mary's there the whole time. Are you still with me, church? Mary's there the whole time. She sees the stone being rolled in front of the tomb. And I want to tell you, historians believe that this stone weighed over 2,000 pounds, which is about 970 kilograms. And my son does a bit of powerlifting. And I want to tell you, I don't know how you can lift up a stone of 970 kilograms. So they believe that there was actually a trench built, and this stone was rolled down in the trench in front of the tomb, because a man could not pick up a 970 kilogram stone. Amen. And what they do is they placed a seal on the stone. And this seal was backed with the authority that if anyone would even touch the stone, that they would be crucified. They placed soldiers in front of the stone. Barrier after barrier after barrier. Man-made barriers to prevent somebody to get to the body of Jesus. And Mary wondered, how could the world go on when this is going on? How can a mountain stand? Why doesn't it just come crashing down? Or why doesn't the sky just turn black and it's over? So she comes on the Sunday morning with some more herbs, and she's walking towards the tomb. I'm telling you a narrative sermon today, okay? It's a story. I hope you're enjoying it. But it's from the Word, I promise you. So she walks towards the tomb on that morning with extra herbs because she wants to just take a moment to do something to this man that saved her from so much. And as she's walking, she's thinking, but how am I going to roll the stone away? I'm a woman, and it's a 970 kilogram stone. But that doesn't stop Mary. She still goes to find Jesus. You see, the obstacles in her life didn't keep her away from him. It drew her closer to him. Are the obstacles in your life turning you away from Jesus? When you go through a hard time, do you blame Jesus? Maybe. But God, you could have. God, you would have. God, you should have. But God is in control of our lives. You see, Mary was standing there and she comes to the tomb and she's like, Jesus, what happened? The stone is rolled away, amen? What is happening? And she runs in and she sees, but the body of Jesus isn't there anymore. And she runs out and she finds a gardener, and she thinks it's a gardener she's speaking to. And she's saying, they've taken my Jesus and I don't know what to do. Do you know where they've taken him? Because I need to get close to him really quickly. Amen. If you know where he is, you need to tell me, because I need to put my heart and my life and my ways right next to his, because that's where I'm safe. I need to find Jesus. I need to find Jesus. I need to find Jesus. Amen. She says to this gardener, where is he? Where is my Jesus? What have they done with him? And the gardener looks and he says, Mary. And in that moment, she remembers the words of Jesus when he said, Mary, so many times in the 3 years that she'd walked with him. She recognizes his voice. She recognizes that voice that spoke into her darkness. The voice that had never forgotten her name. Our Jesus never forgets your name. Amen. So Mary falls down on the ground in awe of Jesus, and she remembers the words of the prophet Isaiah that says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. A light has dawned. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And suddenly the heart jumps within her, because she's reminded that Jesus said he is going to die and he's going to spend time in the tomb, but he will rise again. Amen? In the whisper of Mary, she realized Jesus is there. You see, Jesus didn't appear to rulers or kings. Jesus didn't even appear to his disciples. He appeared to a woman whose love had held her at the cross and at the grave. Amen. Again, God revealed himself to someone who was a nobody. a woman who loved deeply, was given the message, I am risen. She's given the greatest message of all time. He is risen. I am risen. Go and tell the world, I was dead, but I'm alive. Amen. Go and tell the world, I died on that cross, and I am risen, and I'm ready to support you. I'm ready to walk with you. I've taken your shame. I've taken your torment. I've taken your disappointments. I've taken your problems. I've taken your sickness. I've taken your everything on the cross. I am risen. I remained on the cross for you. At any moment, Jesus could have got off that cross and given up on us. But church, he never gave up on you. Amen? Just like he will never give up on you. Every single day of your life, before you were formed, he knew you. And he put a destiny within you. You were made to be a game changer. Amen? Jesus could trust Mary with a game-changing message because Mary loved him deeply. You want to be a game-changer? Love deeply. Amen? No, I don't think you heard me. You want to be a game-changer? It's so easy, church. Love Jesus deeply. Amen? Love Jesus deeply. Then he can trust you with things to change lives. Jesus didn't just know Mary's name. Jesus knew everything about Mary in that moment when he turned around and he said, Mary. That's the Jesus we serve. Are you going to be a game changer for Jesus? A game changer means you're a disciple, a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to take the message of Jesus and change a life, a week, at least for Jesus? Because if you love deeply, it's nothing to do something for Jesus. It's nothing to support the ministry. It's nothing to walk with Jesus. It's nothing to invite somebody to church. Look at all these seats. Let's fill them. COVID is over. Amen? TV can only do so much for you. Watching a sermon on a screen is like seeing a fireplace. Being in the building is feeling the warmth of the fireplace. Amen? I was speaking to the band this morning and I challenged them to be game changers, amen. You know what? To be a worship of the Father, we need to get past ourselves. To be a worship of the Father, we have to get past our challenges, what we face and what we think we're going through. Because there's a world out there crying for the name of Jesus, crying to be heard by the Father, amen. So I took the band this morning and I said, in the next 7 days before we meet each other next Sunday, I challenged them to WhatsApp 5 people per day with a scripture out of the Bible. Amen? And I said, it's very easy. You go Google it. Encouraging scriptures in the Bible. Amen? And you take that scripture and you ask God every morning for 5 names that you can send an encouraging scripture to and say, for instance, Sister Carol, I want to tell you this morning, God is for you and not against you. I'm praying for you. God is with you. You are not alone. You're going to have an awesome week. Amen? I challenged them to take 5 people every day. We were 28 in the room. Then we started to do the maths. If 28 of us reached out to 5 different people every day, by next week, Sunday, we would have reached 980 people. Amen? So I want to challenge you this morning. If you love Jesus, if you're a disciplined follower of Jesus, if you are thankful for what he has taken you through, reach out to 5 people every day and start bringing them into the house of God that we can worship together for eternity. Amen? Can you do that? I don't even know how many people are here. Can you imagine if all of us did that? It was just a small room of 28 people that can reach 980 people by next week, Sunday. With the love of Jesus. Bring hope to someone. Bring Jesus to someone. Take that heart, that thankful heart, and put it to work. Be a game changer. Ladies, we are not made to walk in depression and anxiety. We are made to walk with a game changer. Amen? Amen? Parents, we are not overwhelmed by what our children are facing. We're walking with a game changer. Can I ask you, let us become game changers in this world. bring someone to Jesus. Lead someone to Jesus in this week. When last have you led someone out of darkness into light? When last have you taken somebody's hand and led them to Jesus? But we call ourselves disciples. Amen? Disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. We have to advance the kingdom of God at any cost. Amen? So that when we get to eternity one day, we can worship in one voice, one heart, one spirit with those next to us. Imagine sitting in heaven one day and looking in hell and it's somebody you stood next to in the spa. And God had said to you, speak to that person, you didn't. Amen? Maybe a little bit of a light bulb moment. We need to wake up, church, and advance the kingdom of God so that the light of Jesus can shine into hollow eyes, into a hollow heart, into a hollow destiny, and start creating a game changer.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.